As we remain standing, let us pray.
Lord God, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, a gift that we often take for granted. Thank you, Lord, that when we are unable to see our way in life, you promise to be there and fill us with your power. Be with us this day and always, and make our hearts receptive to your urgings. And we ask all of this in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Boy, do sermons ever change midstream, I tell you. I was struck in this reading. I'm not preaching the gospel, but anyhow, I'll get back to that if something struck me. When I was a child, we had a beautiful blue Studebaker. Anybody ever remember those fabulous cars? And what we used to do on Sundays, we used to go for a drive, Sunday drive. And in those days, this was before the big 401. And the only, so the highway you went onto, which was a big deal, was number 2. Does anybody remember that highway in Ontario? And you went through every small town between there and Port Hope, I think, right? Or past there. And we would be in the car, and in about 10 minutes, the question would begin. Are we there yet? I mean, 10 minutes. For one thing, as a child, I'm not too sure where there was, but we asked the question. But my mother's philosophy was that if their mouths are full of food, they will not be asking the question. So my mother would bring this big basket of food. Lots of Wonder Bread, I seem to remember, and bologna, and it doesn't matter. And so we would just eat the entire trip, which took about, 2 hours or something, I don't know. About 4 sandwiches. Oh my gosh, oh yeah, and Dad's cookies in the packages. You remember the, I remember that. But we again, as soon as we finished eating, it would be, when are we there yet? And I think in our growth as, in our spiritual growth as disciples of Christ, I think that is the question we ask. Are we there yet, spiritually? And part of spiritual maturity and growth in our walk as disciples is accepting that we are not there yet, but we have hope. Hope which comes from God, and hope that for each one of us is personal. And certainly in these days of, coronaviruses and the fact that we hear about these things 1 second after they happen, we do need hope. We do need hope. Because hope shines through those shafts of darkness and leads us always to God, who is the ultimate fulfillment of our desires, our dreams, and our goals. And this is a process reflecting on the question, am I there yet? And when we ask that question, it is evidence that our eyes are focused on the destination, being in right, proper, and a fruitful relationship with our Creator through Jesus Christ, upheld by the power of the Spirit. And that there is when the fruit of the Holy Spirit and love, and you notice it's fruit, uno, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And what we want, the there, is that this fruit becomes as natural as breathing. We don't even have to think about it anymore. It just is. So whether we are rich or poor, happy or sad, sick or well, we will remain unfazed by people or circumstances because our entire being is rooted and grounded in who? Christ. Paul, in the letter to the Romans, explains how we become estranged from our Creator in the first place. And we have been infected, isn't this interesting, with a spiritual virus. And the nature of this virus is not immorality or wrongdoing, but the obsession with self-realization that leads us to say, I am my own God, the small g. I am in charge of my life, my affairs, my home, my family, my job, my spouse, my child. I am in charge and nothing or no one can stop me from being in charge. Because sin is about a fundamental relationship. It is not about wrongdoing. It is about wrong being. It is a deliberate and determined independence from God. Only God can remove sin through redemption, through salvation, through the cross. But we, and I love this from Zechariah, we are prisoners of hope. And in today's reading from the 5th chapter of Romans, Paul delivers some good news. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are assured, we can have hope that because of our faith in Christ Jesus, we have access to the peace of God. Being in right standing or right relationship with God is the permanent peace we're striving for. There's no more hostility blocking our relationship with God. It is simple yet complex. And it helps to keep in mind the two-sided reality of the Christian faith. On one hand, we are complete in Christ. Our acceptance with Him is secured. Okay, we can agree with that. On the other hand, we are growing in Christ, becoming more and more Christ-like. At the one and the same time, we have the status of king and the duties of slaves. Isn't that beautiful? The status of kings and the duties of slave. We live with the presence of Christ, and yet we live under the pressures of sin. Is everybody happy yet? Filled with hope? Let me get to page 4 here. We enjoy the peace that comes from being made right with God, but we still face daily problems that often help us to grow. And Paul writes, we too can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for what do they know? They help us to develop endurance. In this, are we there yet life? We are becoming, but in the process, we must overcome. In this, are we there yet life? We are becoming, but in the process, we overcome. And as we overcome problems and trials, we develop what? Endurance. Is that true? Honestly, the more I've gone through my life, you get stronger. Would I choose it? Absolutely not. For endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead us to disappointment. And we will experience difficulties, and they will help us develop because we have a choice. You become better or you become bitter. To rejoice in our suffering doesn't mean we are spiritual masochists, that we like pain or deny tragedy, but endowed with free will, we choose to become bitter or better and let our difficulties build our character. Because our character is who we are in the dark when no one else is looking. And our character is the only thing that's going to matter when we stand before the Lord. You and I need hope. We need hope that life is not just a series of random events with no rhythm or reason. Hope gets us out of bed in the morning. It gets our blood flowing, especially when life looks bleak. And when we have hope, we turn around to a God who will bring forth His promise, and this hope gives us a new freedom to look realistically at life without feeling dejected. That's from Henry Nouwen, The Inner Voice of Love. When the when this hope, our problems we overcome and face, develop perseverance that in turn strengthens our character. It deepens our trust in God and gives us a greater confidence for the future. And boy, is that ever appropriate now? Thank God for these opportunities to grow and deal with Him in His strength, because I can't do it in mine. The ability to deal with growth and the opportunities to overcome is available because, in verse 5, we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Yes, Paul. We have this Holy Spirit filling our lives with love to enable us to live by His power. And we are the recipients of the promise of Pentecost when the risen and glorified Christ announced the gift of the Holy Spirit given to believers. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, in Powell River, in Lund, in Vancouver, in Desolation Bay. The Holy Spirit was sent so that God could be with us and within us to comfort, to guide us in truth, to remind us of Jesus' words, and to give us the right words to say and fill us with His power. With all this loving care, how can we do less than serve God completely? And Paul reminds us that while we were still enemies, not because we were good enough, but because our Maker loved us, we were given Jesus to save us from ourselves. Oh, what an incredible gift. Even while we were whining and complaining and ungrateful, God, in His mercy and goodness, gives us His life so that we can have real life. And that is the depth of God's love. And that same love that caused Christ to die is the same love that sends the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us. We got the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that saved us, and it is available 24/7. I'll never forget Bishop Cruikshank. I told you this story probably. We were at a retreat for clergy, and the speaker hadn't been able to come, so Jim Cruikshank took over, and he was talking about the passage from Ephesians. I've told you this. And he said, there isn't two swimming pools, one for the bad people and one for the good people. There's only one swimming pool, and we're in it together. And then he said, I'll never forget it. He said, the power of the resurrection is the power that's available to us. I'll never forget that. It was an incredible retreat, but I'll never forget Jim talking like that. But the swimming pool thing stuck in my head. I don't know why. And we are assured that having begun a life in Christ, we have a reserve of power and love to call upon every single minute to help meet every challenge and ordeal. And God is always listening, and He simply says, you are my beloved. I am your God, and you are my people, the sheep of my hand. So be still, my darlings, and know that I am God. Let us pray. Lord, in these days of mercy, make us quiet and powerful, prayerful. In these days of challenge, make us stronger in you. These days of emptiness, take possession of us. And in these days of waiting, open our hearts to the mystery of your cross. Amen.